This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, 14 years of Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman, watching the rise of commercial space and the humbling of big space. We're looking right now at something in between. A big space company that's now gone private for its capsule, which remains parked at ISS. Of course, Starliner. Bob, 14 years we've been waiting for Starliner to leave ISS.
Not quite that long.
Your subscriptions and donations are very much welcome. The Adventures of Starliner. I could see this being a children's book. You know, Starliner having a happy little face waiting for its time in history. What is the status, Bob? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. First, I have to thank your listeners, as always, whenever I have my fundraising campaigns. They are amazingly generous in sending donations and subscribing to my website. No one has to pay me anything to read it. I put it online for free, but people do, and I really can't express how much I appreciate their support. Thank you. So the status with Starliner. The situation with Starliner is, first, it's not stranded on ISS. They are simply... they want to dot all the I's and cross all the T's about the thrusters on the service module of the capsule that did not work properly during docking. Those thrusters will not come back to Earth, so they cannot look at them later. So they want to do whatever they can before they deorbit, because once they deorbit, they burn up in the atmosphere. So if there's any questions, they want to try to answer them beforehand. And in addition, the longer Starliner stays up at ISS, the better, because it does teach them how that capsule responds to longer periods of time and space. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. And so they decided that they needed to do ground tests using another Starliner capsule and service module of those thrusters, simulating precisely not only the docking maneuvers that took place when Starliner docked with ISS, but also simulate the undocking and deorbit maneuvers. And the reason they wanted to do it exactly the same way is to see if by doing it on a different capsule in the exact same manner, they could maybe pinpoint what was wrong, what caused some of those thrusters to overheat and fail. They think it's an overheating problem. That's the one thing I've heard, but they're not convinced of that yet. And so they have now completed the ground static fire tests of a Starliner capsule on Earth, and they're analyzing that data. And based on what the NASA report that I read is, they expect in about a week or so to complete that. And I think at that moment in time, they will be in a position to finally say, okay, let's deorbit. And I think that they'll schedule it sometime in the first week in August. And that will make great sense, because they're tentatively planning to launch a Dragon capsule with a new crew in mid-August. And they really wanted Starliner to be undocked and back to Earth before that launch, so that the port is open and they've got a space to bring the Dragon capsule in. So I think that's where we stand right now. No dates have been set, but I think we can expect it by early August, an announcement.
The NASA spacesuit. It's very large. It used to take the shuttle, I think, to deliver a new spacesuit.
Yes.
The cosmonaut spacesuit is much tidier. However, there's a leak in the umbilical cord. What does that mean, Bob?
Yeah, this is an ongoing, continuing problem with the NASA's spacesuits on ISS. They're very complicated. They're not the simple, well-designed suits the Russians have that they've used now for almost 40 years, upgrading regularly, but the Russian spacesuits are really efficient and smart and well-designed. The American spacesuits, the NASA suits, are very complicated, extremely difficult to put together. They assemble into many different pieces, and they've had ongoing leak problems where water leaks into the suits. Well, what happened on a spacewalk, the beginning of a spacewalk on June 24th, was that before the astronauts started the walk, they're in the suits, and the suits are attached to an umbilical cord that's attached to the station systems. And they hold on to that until just before they begin their spacewalk. They open the hatch, they're about to leave, and that's when they disconnect the cord. Well, apparently when they disconnected the cord, there was a gigantic water leak in the airlock, water everywhere. And that produced ice particles everywhere, and it was a mess. And so they quickly canceled the spacewalk, close the hatch, or maybe the hatch wasn't open at the time, but this was when they were still attached to the umbilical cords of the station, and they canceled the spacewalk. And now NASA, the astronauts have been inspecting the suits, disassembling them wherever they can to try to figure out what went wrong, looking at the umbilical cord. But NASA, in the meantime, has suspended all American spacewalks on ISS. The Russians will continue to do walks, but the American spacewalks are suspended until they can figure out what this issue is. They have not identified the cause of the leak. All this comes down to the fact that NASA spent almost a decade and a half and $1 billion doing PowerPoint presentations of its proposed new spacesuits to replace these suits on ISS, and built nothing. And so finally, about 2.5 years ago, they abandoned NASA's totally incompetent attempt to build spacesuits, and NASA issued contracts to two different private companies to build new suits. One of those countries just pulled out. They're not going to do it. That's Collins. But the other one, Axiom, is in the process of building its suits, and hopefully they'll have them done in a year or so, with $1 billion wasted by NASA in the meantime. So that's where we stand with spacesuits on ISS, John.
Commercial space, Astroscale, wins a contract to deorbit. What is Astroscale? And this looks like a good business model. One satellite for $15
million? Yeah, this is interesting. Astroscale is a Japanese company that now also has offices in both Europe and the United States, so they can win contracts with those in those regions. And it's an orbital tug company, essentially, with a lot of very good ideas. One of the ideas they've been pushing hard, and they've done demo flights to try to demonstrate it, is a magnetic capture device they want to sell to satellite companies to attach to the satellites. And that would give every satellite a consistent way for an astroscale orbital tug to grab it and then deorbit it when the time comes. Of course, if they convince every satellite company to do this, then they're going to capture the market for the orbit of the orbiting of satellites. It's very clever. And they did they've done two demonstration flights. One, they did a demonstration flight of this capture system in 21, but the problem there was they did lots of rendezvous and proximity flight maneuvers autonomously with a robot satellite, but they couldn't do the docking and capture because thrusters had failed. They had deals with both the UK, several UK, United Kingdom companies, the European Space Agency, and OneWeb to deorbit a OneWeb satellite, but that contract had not been released because of the problems in 21. More recently, though, they've done another orbital test mission where they, for Japan's space agency, JAXA, where they have done proximity maneuvering around a different upper stage, and that's been very, very successful. They have not done any docking yet, but they've been very, very successful, and their operations have had no failures. And so I think that caused the UK Space Agency and the European Space Agency to finally decide to release $15 million to Astroscale to fly a deorbit mission to a defunct OneWeb communication satellite and bring it down. I think that OneWeb satellite has the Astroscale magnetic capture device on it, and so they're going to test it that way. And so that's what this is, John. And Astroscale is one of the many orbital tug companies that have been trying to gain business. It's one of the more successful ones, I would say, and it's a good thing.
Scotland, this is a positive story in an environment that has been a puzzle as to why it makes space launching so difficult. The news is 5 projects funded by the UK Space Agency across Scotland have been announced on the opening day of the Farnborough International Air Show, providing, and then there's a number here, how much for Scottish investment. Is this good news, Bob? I can't tell.
I'm not sure myself. What this appears to me is that the United Kingdom has decided to pay off a bunch of different rocket startups to keep them from leaving the UK for their launch operations. The biggest grant here was to the German rocket startup High Impulse. And they gave them $6.45 million. Not big money, but for a startup like this, it's a lot. And that money is to encourage High Impulse to launch, do a vertical test launch of its SR-75 suborbital rocket from the Saxaford spaceport in the Shetland Islands. What's interesting about this is that High Impulse originally wanted to do all its launches, test launches from Saxaford. But because they couldn't do it last year, or even a little bit into the year before, because of red tape in the UK that would not approve launches from Saxaford, High Impulse did its first suborbital test flight from a spaceport on the southern coast of Australia earlier this year. And there's they've been negotiating with that spaceport to do more launches from there. And so the UK is faced with the possibility they're going to lose this business, and they're going to lose other business as well, because other startup launch companies have been moving away from the UK because of the red tape problems, the delays. They can't get approvals to launch. And so I think the UK decided, well, let's pay these companies some money, and they gave a grant totaling $14 million to five different companies or operations. Not all of this is rocket startups, but High Impulse is the most obvious one. They have also given money to another German rocket startup, the Rocket Factory Augsburg, also to try to encourage them to launch from Saxaford. And so this is a good story in that the UK at least recognizes there's a problem and is trying to encourage business to come to them. But it's a bad story because instead of fixing the red tape problems, they're simply sending money out, and it's really not the right approach. Because in the end, these companies are not going to sign a deal where they're forced to launch from Saxaford. The deals probably say, we will do a launch eventually. We'll take your money and we'll do a launch eventually. But in the meantime, they'll go elsewhere if there's delays, which means the UK doesn't get anything except spending money.
We turn to a positive story about Astra going private. What is Astra?
Astra is one of the rocket startups. It was a startup. It actually launched a few times with a very small rocket. Had some technical problems. It abandoned that rocket partly because of the technical problems and partly because it was just very small. It really couldn't launch very many things, so it meant it wasn't competitive. And they said they were going to build a bigger rocket. But the company also was going bankrupt, was running out of cash. And so the original two founders of this company have now purchased the company stock from the shareholders, and the company has gone private again. That means these guys will have more flexibility in what they do, but does that mean they will be able to raise the cash to build this new, bigger rocket? That's unknown. I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but it definitely takes it out of the public square and into the private sector, private enclosed corporation, and it allows them, I think, more flexibility. We'll have to wait and see whether the company survives, John.
What I worry about is that Virgin Galactic model, Bob.
Yes.
And that's a cloud over private commercial space.
When it comes to stocks like this, it's a perfect example, and I'll use this company, Astra, as an example. When they went public, the stock was at a high price. Lots of money came in to these founders and to the company. The money got spent, and now these founders have purchased the stock back, and I'd say less than 1% of the original of the value when they were purchased the stock. So the people who bought the stock lost money. And these guys got the company back after raising money. There's just a lot of fishy stuff here that makes you really question. Remember, freedom and private enterprise carries with it risk. The risk is something you have to recognize and live with because the benefits far outweigh the risks and the dangers. But as, you know, let the buyer beware. You have to be aware that sometimes these companies are not good and you might be wasting your money.
Right. You might get a SpaceX. Good luck out there. Bob, a chronology for a Russian orbital station. Okay. Roscosmos.
This is not a recent story, but I decided to post it anyway. Early in July, the Russians announced this schedule, and I kind of ignored it because it's so unreal. But I decided today I better post it. I better put it up in my website so at least it's there. They've announced that they're going to build their own space station and have the first module launched by 27 and have it completed by 33. If you believe that, I've got a bridge I want to sell you. But the Russians are facing the reality now that ISS is going away, and they're not going to be able to go on any of the commercial stations that we're going to replace it with. And the Chinese don't seem really interested in having them as a partner on the Chinese station. And so they decided they got to build their own station. But the problem with, of course, Russia is that though they say they're going to have the first module up in 3 years, their track record since the fall of the Soviet Union is 20 years to get two decades to get something launched. And so we'll see what happens. But at least this This is the timeline they have outlined, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It's 14 years of watching commercial space prosper and watching exploration in the solar system. We're headed to Mars. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.